Right Reverend Sir, delegates, clergy, visitors, alternates. As the title suggests, this plenary is about reading the Bible through a lens that's focused on God's mission in the world, and His unending invitation for us to join in that mission. But I want to start with a true story, and I've already warned my congregation. I'm going to start with a true story. So let's go back to Christmas Eve a couple of years ago, as St. Luke the Evangelist was celebrating Christmas Eve service. And one of the songs that we love to sing is Go Tell It on the Mountain. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Well, we sang that song, and we sang it loud. But the Sunday after Christmas, a parishioner advised me that baby Jesus was missing out of our nativity scene. Baby Jesus was missing. He was no longer in the manger. Now, just like every other church, we have our nativity, and when you walk in the front door, it's front and center, and it's right there. So we're celebrating Christmas, but baby Jesus is missing. It started an immediate search. Who took baby Jesus? Where'd he go? We looked high, we looked low. And you see that empty crash? One of my parishioners took a teeny tiny little post-it note and wrote on it, Baby Jesus is out walking in the hood. Baby Jesus was out walking in the hood. So, that got us to thinking, where do we look for Jesus? We typically look for Jesus inside of our church. During Christmas, we look for Jesus in the creche. During Easter or Lent, we look for Jesus on the cross or in the tomb. But we have learned that Jesus is walking in the hood. So my question is this. If Jesus is already out in the world, then how do we read Scripture from this point of view, from this understanding? We come to realize that we do not bring Jesus into the world, we find Jesus in the world. We are not sent to save the world, but to look for those places of creation where God is already working, and we just need to show up. So in order to even think about what it means, we need to go back to basics. We need to go back to the Bible and relook at what we are being told to do. We need to read the Scripture with new lens, hence my new glasses. This new lens is called missional hermeneutics, basically looking at the Bible with a different lens. According to Anthony Rofsky, he writes the following. It means reading the Bible and understanding it in a new way that rallies our soul to serve. Rallies our soul to serve. And what is hermeneutic? I said it before, and I always just say lens. It simply means looking through a different lens. Now, we have all inherited a way of seeing the world based on our experiences, based on what we were told as we were growing up, and it impacts how we look at the Bible, how we read the Bible. And mostly we read it from a very individualistic and moralistic point of view. And I remember as a child, all I ever heard about the Bible was hell and damnation. And that certainly clouded how I read the Bible. Now, reading the Bible from a missional lens, however, does not begin with a question. And we typically would say, when I read the Bible, what does it mean for my life? What does it mean that I need to do in order to be good? But I want to offer that we read the Bible from a different place. We start with the premise that God is good and that God is already saving the world. So instead of asking that question, we ask a different question. How are we, not I, called to experience and participate in what God is already doing in the world? To read the Bible with a missional lens tells us that we are being called to step up and step out. Step up and step out into the world to do the work that God has called us to do. In his book, Incarnate, Michael Frost states that the Bible is God's word for us, our source that equips us to continue the apostolic witness that brought us into being as the Church of Jesus Christ. And according to Malcolm Gitt, a missional view finds the core of the Bible and uses that core to interpret everything else. So fortunately, Jesus has already told us that core, and many of us heard this last night in the reading. The core is this: it is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and with all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. And I remember when I first joined the Episcopal Church, what always stuck with me was, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. We can be assured that we are reading the Bible correctly if our reading of Scripture enhances our capacity to love God and love our neighbor. Any interpretation that diminishes our capacity to love God and our neighbor is a misinterpretation. Therefore, reading the Bible with the missional lens, look for God's commandment to love God and love our neighbor. And this requires us to have a broader view of neighbor. And this will be an ongoing theme. Like in the story of the Good Samaritan we heard last night from Bishop Doyle, we find our salvation in the stranger when we reach down into the ditch. The verse from Hebrews that sticks with me is, "Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it." That's another way of extending that hand. A missional reading of the Bible sometimes understands that God's Spirit is present in every creation long before we get there. We were just having a conversation during the Bible study about how sometimes we show up and want to just save. Well, you know, the work's already started. We just need to show up. So in Psalm 139, it reads this: "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. Where can I go to escape from the Holy Spirit?" The answer is nowhere. He's already there. We just have to show up. So the missional point is that there is no place, no person, no city, no situation, no neighborhood where God is not already present, where God is not already making things new. Our job is to get curious and look for it. God is asking us to open our eyes and see differently, look differently at what we are seeing, interpret it differently. And in order to do that, sometimes we might need to travel a little lighter. Jesus said, "Take nothing on the journey, for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt." However, without realizing it, we carry a lot of baggage. A lot of baggage from our experiences. Those experiences from hurts, old hurts, experiences from old historical prejudices, experiences from long-term practices. But the amount and weight of the baggage that we carry impacts us physically and spiritually, and there is a cost. The cost of baggage. The cost of baggage. This is an example. In the third quarter of 2016, this is before the holiday season. In the third quarter of 2016, it is reported that airlines collected $1.1 billion in baggage fees. Carrying a lot of baggage is costly. Bags that weigh us down and keep us from fully living into God's mission for us and for His world. It is costly. It cost us our relationship with God. It cost us our relationship with our neighbors. We must name and drop the bags. As we ponder God's work in the world and our role in God's mission in the world, we repent, which means we simply turn around and start all over again. And it causes us sometimes to look at some of the things that have now become part of traditionalism, not necessarily tradition. Tradition is the living faith of the dead. Traditionalism is the dead faith of the living. And I suppose I should add, it is traditionalism that gives tradition a bad name. Now, this quote is from Yaroslav Pelikan. And it is so very, very appropriate because it sheds light on Jesus' ministry. Just about everything Jesus did and said, he touched the unclean, he healed on the Sabbath, he played down the importance of the temple, he shared meals with sinners. Now, this was not an affront to Rome, but to the political and religious establishment of the Second Temple, Jerusalem. Sometimes the things that we hold dear become obstacles. Think of how radical it was, how scandalous it was for the church to decide that circumcision was no longer a requirement for Gentile converts. Think about that. The very sign of God's covenant with Abraham was put aside simply because the Holy Spirit was doing something new. Traditionalism gave way to a deeper tradition. In his second letter to the Corinthians, Paul writes, "We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us." Now, reading this with a missional lens asks us to get really clear that the treasure is Jesus. And that no vessel, no building, no liturgy, no particular way of doing things can contain Jesus for very long. Simply because God reveals through Jesus the living Word, and Jesus is always moving in creation and speaking a new creation into being. But more than that, a missional reading of the Bible does not ask us to bring the treasure into the world, but to find the treasure in the world. To find the outcast, to find the stranger, to find the person with a different point of view, to find the person who knows God and the person who does not yet know God. Our story begins with Abraham and Sarah, who were probably very comfortable and settled in the land of Haran, only to have their lives disturbed by the voice of God who says, "Go from your country and kindred and what's familiar, and let's go on a journey to this new land that I'll show you." Deep down, we know God speaks to us in somewhat the same way. He tells us to go. Now, early in my life, I struggled with how I fit into the Episcopal Church as an African-American female. A friend told me, here, read the book of Ruth. You laugh. He was serious. Read the book of Ruth. Reading that book with the missional lens revealed not what I expected, which is how I fit in. Reading the book of Ruth, I recall Ruth telling Naomi, "Your people will be my people." And that took on new meaning for me. That was reading for me the book of Ruth with the missional lens. Now, we see mission as an adventure, and it means that we will not always get it right. But it does mean that we should show up, step up, and do what we can. And as we falter on the way and lean on each other, it's okay to make changes. It's okay to cry a little. It's okay to learn and grow. Because we are, as humans, in the mission field doing the work of our Lord. But even if we stumble, and even if we wonder why we have left our comfort zone to do it, and we want to take a little break, we can thank God that there will always be His nagging voice inviting us to come to the field, inviting us to come back, inviting us to look to see who our neighbor is, inviting us to extend the hand. He is calling us. So our diocesan team has developed a Bible study to help us discover where God is inviting us to join the mission. And you'll hear a little bit about that later. But what I want to leave you with as we begin talking about reading the Bible with missional eyes, I want to leave you with Jesus is not just sitting in our pews. Jesus is no longer hanging on the cross. Jesus has busted out of the tomb, and He is walking in the hood. He is walking in my hood. He is walking in your hood. He is walking on city streets and country roads. And all we need to do is go find Him.